Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, great to have all of you here and with us today on this amazing first day of autumn. I'm hoping and praying that summer has gone bye-bye. So I didn't enjoy last summer at all. Anyone say amen? Okay, good. Thank you. I'm hoping autumn's just a little bit cooler. All right. Hey, kids, how you doing? You're already down here. Awesome. Awesome. Any other kids want to come and join us? Feel free. Sorry, mate. I'm just going to pinch this chair. All right, so you just grab a seat on the floor. All right, excellent. Okay, so let me just pinch this chair. Yep. All right. How you doing today, kids? You good? Excellent, excellent. Great to have you with us. All right. Okay. All right, I'm coming down to your level today. I've got something really special to do today, and I'm going to need a volunteer. Not just yet. I'm going to do the first bit, and I'm going to watch who pays attention, because what I do, you're going to have to do, all right? So that may cause you not to put up your hand, all right? So you ready? This is, you like my car? Yeah, you like my car? Thank you. I like, your imagination is switched on. You love it? Yep, you know what sort of car it is? It's a Holden. Holden, very good, Holden, yes. Yeah, why not? Let's make it the E.H. Holden. Let's go with that. Ready? We'll start her up. Start her up. Now, it's old Holden. Sometimes old girls take a little while to get up in the morning. You got a spare room at your place? All right, here we go, ready. Hold on, I better change gears. Ooh, there's a sign to my right. It says 60. I'm only doing 40, I'm safe. Thank you very much, Ange. EH is, we're in miles per hour. You have to ask someone older than me what miles per hour means. Two times, that's the estimate. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yep. Yep. 60. 60 miles an hour is 100 k's. 80s. 50 miles an hour is 80 k's. Enough of maths. I'm driving my car. All right. It's all right. Now, sometimes the indicator in the EH works. Otherwise, sorry?
Wine? Wine?
Oh, you got me, yeah. All right. So sometimes you have to indicate. Sometimes the indicator doesn't work, so you have to put your hand out. The window's already down. There's no air conditioning in this car. You get in an E.H. Holden, you wind the windows down. There we go.
Yeah,
driving along.
The
that's right. That's right. Four windows down at 60. That's it. You got it. And the automatic accelerator is a brick. You put it on the accelerator. That's it. That's how you keep it. Different size bricks for how fast you want to go. All right. Here we go. Okay. Got the idea? Who'd like to come and drive my car? All right, Luke. Hold on, I've got to get your name right. Luke?
Yes.
Very good. Come on, Luke. Come and drive my car.
Can I drive it next
to you? Okay, now, Luke. I'm a nervous passenger.
I'm going to drive you on a building.
Okay. All right, so you want to drive my car. This is my car. You're in charge of my car. Okay? All right. Normally we'd put seatbelts on, but EH doesn't have seatbelts. So what we do in the EH is we pray. Every time, when I take my kids to school, when they get in the EH, I say, okay, girls, time to pray. Because no doubt we go past a sign that says, no seatbelt, no chance. So I have to rebuke those signs. So pray. All right, ready? Okay, no seatbelts, don't have to put the seatbelt on. Okay, want to start the car? Very good. First time. Look how sweet that was, eh? She's got up. She's good now. Yeah. All right. So on the accelerator. Now it's a manual, so you've got to push in the clutch. That's a bit jerky clutch, mate. All right. Now it's a three on the tree. You know what three on the tree means? Okay. It means it's not four on the floor or six on the floor, whatever. Three on the tree is up here. So you've got to change the gears.
Oh,
no. Blinker's on that side.
Yeah.
So this is the gears. You change it. All right. So change the gear. All right, it's on the floor now. Oh, we're going reverse. What the? What are you doing?
Okay,
we're going. Oh, you're indicating. Oh, we're going around the corner.
If we're going top speed, so you'll probably crash.
All right. Okay, how are you going?
Nitrous.
Scary.
A bit scary.
Oh,
yeah, you are a bit young. Swap seats.
Okay, now
all right. Yeah, well done, Luke. Well done. All right. Now, once upon a time, I was a youth pastor. And I used to use this analogy all the time with young people because young people get stuff really simply. I love it. It's really good. You don't have to be super smart because they get simple things. So if this car is actually our body, all right,
yeah.
You get that? If it's our body, imagination time, thinking, if the car is our body and we're in charge of the body, then how we drive it, okay, like you were driving the car, how we drive it is up to us. What we put in the car, what sort of petrol you put in the car. So if it's our body, what do we put in the car? Food. Good. I was hoping no one said petrol. Yeah, really worried about that one. So you put food into the body. Now, if you put good food into the body, guess what? Your body works well. You put bad food into the body, guess what? When you get older, you get fat. Because that's what happened to me. When I was your age, I was skinny ass. When I was in grade 12, I was a fullback and a winger. Now I'm the front row. The whole front row. All right. So you got to watch what you put into your body. Now, when I was 14 years old, who's 14? Anyone 14? I've got a few 14-year-olds. When I was 14, I gave Jesus my life. I said, Jesus, I want you in charge. So the analogy goes, I got out of the driver's seat and I let Jesus sit there. And because now the car is Jesus' car. And Jesus says, who can get in the car? Jesus says, how we drive. Jesus doesn't let me get away with saying, but I was only doing 60, sir, in a 40 zone. You know? He doesn't get away with that. Jesus takes control. So if Jesus is driving your car, what sort of changes would happen in Luke's life, do you think?
I would probably be crushing.
You'd probably be? You'd be with Jesus the rest of your life. Yeah, you'd let Jesus be in charge of driving the vehicle. So when Jesus is in charge...
Sat on Jesus.
Yeah, I sat on Jesus. Thank you. Sorry, Jesus. If Jesus is in charge, all right, of the vehicle, there might be some changes that take place in and through our lives. Amen? There might be some way we think. There might be the way we do things. There might be the way that we treat other people. And Jesus says, yeah, that's not the way we do it. When I'm in charge, this is the way I do it. Because we say a prayer, don't we? We talk about the Lord's Prayer. In it, we ask for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if you, instead of earth, you say, may God's will be done in Donnie as it is in heaven. Or God's will be done in Luke as it is in heaven. That changes things, doesn't it? When Jesus drives the car, when Jesus is in charge of our lives, there's something different going on. We're going to talk a bit about that today. But let's pray for you guys as you get ready to go to KL Kids. How are you guys going up in KL Kids? I was there last week. It was awesome. How good is Nathan? He is awesome. Fantastic time. And the little ones up with Vonnie, man, some of the fun you guys are going. Although, sometimes when your kids make those pancakes, don't eat them, okay? They're not good to eat, those ones. All right, let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for the awesome young people that we have today. I pray that you would watch over them, guide them, and help them to understand more and more about you, Lord Jesus. Be with our awesome KL Kids leaders as they help them to understand more about you, Jesus. And we pray this in your precious name. And all the kids said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Luke. All right, everybody, up you go to KL Kids. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for that opportunity just to, again, connect with you in worship. You are indeed a glorious God, and you are a faithful God. You are a steadfast God, and you are with us, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you are here in our midst to speak, to minister, to inspire. And we pray, Lord God, that right now I give you permission to be at work here in this place. Inspire us, Lord God, to be your people. Amen. Well, today's March the 1st. That means we're halfway through our series on how to neighbour. And it's going along pretty well, I think. We've got a few neighbours here today, so that's working. Excellent. Good to see. Just to recap very quickly. The first part is to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our body, with all our strength. That's the first part, to love God. And we need to do that every day. Amen? Love God. Love God. Love God. Love God. And the second is like it, to love our neighbour as we love ourselves, to get outside the four walls, to be able to be about what God has called us to do. And that is a really challenge, because when Jesus told the story, he didn't say, go and love your best buds. He said, go and love a Samaritan. And in Jewish culture, Samaritans were worse than New South Wales. I'm telling you right now. Samaritans are way out there. Way out there. Terrible people. And he said, go and love them. Now, some of you know, earlier this year, Cynthia and I went down to Foster Tongkurri. And we had a great time down there. And some of you know, I mentioned to you that I went past the Baptist church there, which is right next to everybody in the community. And like, seriously, 1 meter that side of that window is the neighbor. Could you imagine their place on a Sunday morning? They hear the word of God. And they're just living in their house. And they don't have a pastor at the moment. So I said to Cynthia, this is a beautiful place. Now, Donnie, yes. Yeah, I shared that story because at the surf club, I've got lots of New South Wales people at the surf club. And I told them, I went down to New South Wales, Foster Tongkurri, really loved it. And I said, and by the way, they don't have a pastor down there. And they turned to me, no. No. You're not going anywhere. You're staying right here. So, seems to be a broken record around the place. No one wants me to leave. I met a new people today. They told them I've been here 16 years and they went, wow. Yeah, they haven't kicked me out yet. So anyway, back to the sermon. Where were we? Loving the Samaritans. That's what we're about, loving the Samaritans. We've got to go out there and do that sort of stuff. It's about what God's called us to do. And that's not an easy job. And so sometimes people go, it's a hard word. I'm going to stay with the first bit. I'm just going to love God. And maybe osmosis will work for me. No. We've got to be... And that's why we're working through the rest of it. And that's why we talked about fear last week. And great word from Brendan last week. God's at work, amen? God is at work. He's not sitting back in heaven playing Connect Four with a couple of the angels. All right? He's not doing that. He is at work because God so loved the world that he sent his son. But he didn't sit back and go, that'll do. He's still at work. His Holy Spirit is working in and through this community, all around the world, wanting to connect with people. He's on the job. How many of you have met people out there who don't go to church, who are not religious, but God's on their case? Amen. It's at work. It's at work. Tim and Mal talk again and again about people who are Muslims coming to faith. They got a guy who's a gardener in the area, the compound, and he went to the mosque. And the mosque to him is a place of prayer to Allah, God. And so he's there praying. And he's going down and coming up, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And he gets up and there's Jesus standing before him. And Jesus introduces himself to him and they have this great connection. And at the end of their connection, Jesus says to him, follow me. So he gets up, he leaves the house of God. He goes to Tim and says, I'm a follower of Jesus. And Tim goes, how did this happen? He said, I was at the mosque today at the prayer time and Jesus turned up. So next Friday, guess where he went? He went back to where Jesus turned up. He went back to the mosque. Tim's going, no, because he's Western, Tim. He's thinking like me. No, you don't go back to that horrendous place. Well, that's where I met Jesus. Why wouldn't I go back there? Jesus is in there. If Jesus is in a mosque, Jesus is in Kiwana. Amen? And so the word is from Esther, where God isn't mentioned, but God is at work. Cool. Nice point. Is, for such a time as this, I put up my hand and say, yeah, I'll be a part of this. The other part is, you don't put up your hand. You don't step forward to the king. And the king shows you grace. And you don't get to be a part of the great rescue mission that is happening around us. I want to be a part of the rescue mission. I want to be a part of stuff. Brendan excited me this morning when he shared from, and this is a good one for you too, Judy. He shared from youth group on Friday night They're doing Youth Alpha, and they've got a whole bunch of kids from Kiwanis State High School, and a whole bunch of them are talking to Brendan about wanting to know more about Jesus. And Brendan's going, how do you know this? From RI at school.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're listening, Judy. From RI at school. And then they're having a fight over, I love Jesus more. I want to know Jesus more. And they're just going for it. And I'm going, amen, Brendan. Way to go. Let's kick some goals. And it starts with some people teaching RI. So, Judy, be encouraged, mate. Be encouraged. So today, I want to take us on to the next one. Motives matter, or as I've worded it around, the heart matters. The heart matters. Because out of our heart flows everything, doesn't it? We've got to get our heart right. I'm going to start with Isaiah. Can anyone tell me the call of Isaiah? Was there a call? Yeah, Isaiah 6. Very good. Excellent. Is there a call of Isaiah? I don't think there is. All right? I think it's different. Here we go. Isaiah 6. Isaiah's telling us that one of the kings have just died, so he's having a great day in God, and he's worshipping God, and the next thing that happens, he's in heaven. He's watching the divine drama take place. He's telling us about the seraphim and this and everything that's flying around, and it's just amazing. And then in amongst this amazing, what sort of person has a worship time before Hillsong existed? And really connects with God so much that he's seeing the divine drama play out. That's just an amazing time that Isaiah must have been having. So I'm already impressed with Isaiah. I'm thinking, man, Isaiah he's a gun. He's got a great heart. He wants to worship God. And his worship to God was so much that God let him into that space. And he's in there. And this is what's happening. The angels are singing. They always sing in heaven, don't they? It must be a good place. Lots of singing. And they're singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at that sound, the voices and the doorposts and the thresholds shook. Can you imagine that? Heaven was shaking with the praises of God. Ah, to have this place shake with the praises of God. Well, okay, no, maybe not that. And at that sound, it shake. And then he said, woe is me. Here's this guy who's having this vision, and he goes, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty. And straight away, a seraphim comes down with a coal, a live coal, and puts it on his lips and says this, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. So Isaiah has this massive experience. He could almost say to Isaiah, time to come back, buddy. Time to come back. That you've just had a great experience. All your sin is gone. This is just amazing. And then he stays and he watches. And God walks around. You know, I sometimes pace. If you get me on the phone, sometimes I'll be out in the backyard and I'll be walking around. I don't know what my neighbors think. I walk around the backyard as I talk to people. Or sometimes if the dog's playing up, I'll walk the streets talking to people. And I'm talking to them, and so they must think there's a crazy old guy, number two goal player. So he just walks everywhere. Anyway, and so here's God pacing backwards and forwards. And he asks a question. You ever think of God asking questions? He asks a question, and this is the question. Whom will we send? Or who shall I send? God, you don't know who you're going to send? Is that strange to you or what? And again, God is giving the opportunity for Isaiah to participate. Isn't that cool? God gives each of us the opportunity to participate in his plan and work. If you want to. You don't have to. You can sit back and be comfortable and love the Lord your God. But why would you? And Isaiah, I don't know what was going on in Isaiah's head. Here we go. Let's have a look at what Isaiah says. He goes, here am I, send me. He puts it out, here am I, send me. Send me, I'll go. And here's what God says. God says, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the hearts of this people calloused, make the ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. And it doesn't say it here, but then Isaiah went, great, I'm becoming a pastor. I'm only kidding. But here's that, the call, if you want to put that, that's the mantle over his life. You're going to go and you're going to give a message and they're not going to listen. They're not going to hear. And the rest of the book, if you go through it, guess what happens? They don't hear. They don't listen. They get taken away into captivity. And all Isaiah's work. But does that mean Isaiah says, yeah, okay, fair enough. Oh, I go to work today. They don't listen anyway. No. Because Isaiah said, here am I, send me. God, you love these people and something's going to happen and I need to be there if it's going to happen. And if I don't go, I'm going to miss out. Now, Brendan talks to me about all these funny things like fear of missing. What is it called? What do you call it? FOMO. Fear of missing out. FOMO. Young people these days, I don't know. FOMO, fear of missing out. Isaiah had a fear of missing out. He didn't want to miss out on what God was going to do. So he turned up and he put his hand up and said, here am I, send me. He had a good heart. He had a good heart. Now let's go for a quick journey through Bible about the heart, because the heart is big in the Bible. First time it's mentioned is Genesis chapter 6. Doesn't start very well, the heart, because it says this: every imagination and every thought of the human heart was evil. Yeah, that's not a good start. So Genesis chapter 6, not good. Not a good start. Then as you go through Exodus, Pharaoh had a hard heart and Egypt had a hard heart. And it goes on through there. And then in through the other ones, Exodus, Leviticus, you see there was a wise heart. There was a willing heart. So there were some things happening in the heart. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, for the first time we read these words, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then 6:6 says, and I will write my commands on your heart. So God was already at work about working in our hearts that we might be ones who will respond in that way. And Ezekiel chapter 11 and Ezekiel 36 both talk about this heart bit. So let's have a look at Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. I'm using this one today. The other one's not working real well. And it says this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And then I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow me, declares the Lord, and be careful to keep my laws. So God is at work here in Ezekiel. He's saying, this is what I want to do. I want to put in a new heart in you. I want to put in my spirit in you, and you will be able to know what to do because I am at work in and through you. If we go into the New Testament, we find out a few other passages about the heart. In Matthew 6, 21, as Jesus is on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, what about our hearts? Where our treasure is, so will our heart be. Oh, where's your treasure? Is that where your heart is? That's a challenging one. And in Matthew 12, verses 34, he says, for out of your mouth you shall speak what is in your heart. When I became a Christian, there was a problem in my life because I was a normal housing commission kid growing up in that region, and my language was very flowery. And so when I read that passage, out of my heart my mouth speaks, and out of my mouth was all these swear words. So I thought, well, my heart's not in a real good situation. I need to let Jesus take control of my heart. And so I was trying to figure that out, and I was trying to give Jesus a hand by not swearing and stopping it. And so I had one of my best mates, Mitch Sherwood, and I asked him, every time I swore, he could punch me so I would learn not to swear. And so he would punch me every time I swore. Unfortunately, he punched me in English one time, and the English teacher saw him and said, what are you doing, Mitchell Sherwood? And he says, it's okay, miss. He's told me every time he swears for me to punch him. And that's, Donald Johnson, are you swearing in my class? So not only did I get punched, I got sent to the office. So. But yeah, so it was a bit of a challenge for me, this whole swearing bit, and then trying to let God work in and through my heart. And then a young girl in grade 10, she was part of the ISCF, the Interschool Christian Fellowship Group. And I didn't go to that very often because I was playing sport. But anyway, she came up to me and she said, Donnie, I hear you're trying to stop swearing. And I said, yes. And she said, you know, it's a condition of your heart. And I said, yes. And she said, we should pray for that. And I said, yes. And so right in the school ground, this girl in grade 10 grabs me and prays for me and asks for Jesus to change my heart so that my mouth would be changed. Amazing, hey? What a good girl. And Romans 10:10 tells us that out of our heart we believe. Out of our heart we believe. And then Ephesians 6:6 says the will of God will flow from your heart. From your heart. When we go about and doing what God has called us to do, it needs to come from our heart. And we need to let God work in and through our heart. If we go back to Isaiah, Isaiah has a good heart. And he's there and he wants to be about what God's doing. And he quickly puts up his hand and says, here am I. Send me. Send me to these people. Send me. And as you see in the rest of Isaiah, he keeps going about what God's called him to do. No matter how hard it gets. No matter how challenging. Why? Because he had a good heart. And because God was working in and through his heart for those people. Some of you may sit there and go, well, my heart is not for this. My heart is where my treasure is at the moment. My heart is, there's darkness there. Well, we want to let Jesus drive the vehicle. We want to let Jesus be in charge. We want to say, Jesus, you be Lord of our lives. And just as much as when I went to the prayer meeting, just as much as when I was with a whole bunch of pastors, we're all very different. And we all will work in different ways as God works in and through us. Amen? What your gifting is, what your abilities are, what can flow out of your heart because of the Holy Spirit working in and through you will minister into the areas that God places you in. And that will be significant. My call to each of us is to be like Isaiah, to put our hand up and say, here am I. Send me. Send me. Send me. Send me. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for the new heart that you've given us because of what you did for us on the cross. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you are writing on our hearts and you're instilling within us the power of your Holy Spirit to be able to walk in your strength and in your power, redeemed, set free. But Father, your heart beats for this region. Your heart beats for this nation. Your heart beats for this world. For you love the world so much, you gave yourself for it. And so, Lord Jesus, may we grab hold of your heart and let it flow in and through us. As we love you, may you fill us as we stand in that heavenly vine drama and we see what you want to do. And may we be a part of it in our neighborhood, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our surf clubs, in our schools, in our universities, wherever you've got us, Lord God. May we be your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece. In Jesus' name, amen.